Grace be with you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to study the theme, Education. Lesson 7, Worship in Education. Our memory text, give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 29. We all worship something. Let's have a look at this painting of Maximilian Jantscher, Austrian artist. Now, what can we see here? We're in the time of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. 2,500 years ago, more than that. Now, what can we see here? On the left, King Nebuchadnezzar. In the middle, a golden statue. Before this story started, there was another one. The king had a dream, a vision of a statue. Had gold, pressed silver, and then down, brass, legs, iron, feet, iron and clay. And a stone appears out of nothing and hits the statue, and the statue crumbles to pieces. And the stone itself grows. And this is the end of the statue. Now the idea of Nebuchadnezzar came up. I am the golden head, Babylon, and it will be finished by the Persians. Oh no, Babylon forever and ever and ever. We produce a statue, an idol, made of gold from top to feet. God said the future will be like this, and we say Babylon will never end. It will reign eternally. Then it was done. And the first 1,000 of the administrators in the kingdom had to come, and when the music band started to play, they all had to lie flat on the ground. Yeah. And then the band played, and all fell down, all. Three stood erect. Three friends of Daniel, the prophet. They stood there. Erect. The king became furious. What's going on here? They had to appear in front of the king. And he gave them a second chance. Imagine, a second chance they got. And they did not use the second chance. They said, we wouldn't use a third chance. Here is a statue, an idol. We kneel in front of God, and that's all. And nowhere else is worshipped by us. But then you will land in a fire. God can rescue if he wants to. But that's not the question, whether we are rescued or not. We do not kneel in front of your statue. The king became furious. 7 times hotter the oven was heated up. 7 times hotter. And the soldiers who brought these 3 to the oven, they died when they threw in the 3 men. And the 3? Suddenly there are 4. Three have been thrown in and four are inside. And a fourth seems to protect the other three. It was Jesus. And he protected his followers. What a story. And declare them to their children. We have a wonderful Psalm 78, written by Asaph, David's leader of the musicians. We hear, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing that to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done." Now this is the point. Tell the next generation the experience you had with your Lord. They cannot know it if they are not told. And when they are told it, then they get a few of this God. The Bible is a history of experiences of people, what they experienced with God. And Asaph talks about the Israelites. They were slaves in Egypt, then led by Moses. Then they came to Red Sea. What to do? Red Sea in front, mountain ranges left and right, and in the back, the Egyptian army. So what to do? You are in a trap. You cannot escape. And then a storm came and divided the waters in two parts. And in the middle, there's a path. And they could go through. This was an experience, imagine. Millions of people walking through the sea. And the Egyptians, they saw the past as well. And they thought, what they can, we can too. And they followed. And when they were in the middle, the Israelites were already on the shore, on the other side. And when the last Israelite was saved, and the Egyptians came closer, so it was not really a help going through the sea because the Egyptian army followed them. But when the last Israelite had come on land, the storm stopped blowing and the waters came back. And no one of the Egyptian army escaped. No one. They all died, all of them, including the Pharaoh. Now this was an experience. And Asaph is the one telling it. And other stories from old, so that the children hear how God has to be worshipped because what he has done in the past. It's a history of God's intervening. When you read here, when we forget his works and his wonders that he had showed them, then we are in danger. Therefore, Asaph wants to tell, so that they do not forget. We know from Ellen G. White, when she was at the General Conference meeting for the last time, she had grown old, was more than 80, and then she said, for the future, these were her last words, for the future we have nothing to fear. There's only one point. Lest we forget how the Lord has led us from the beginning to this point in time. If we forget his great deeds in the past, then we are in danger. But we have nothing to fear, nothing at all, if we do not forget, because we tell the story of Adventist history, how it came into being. Interesting. It's important not to forget. If we forget, we're in danger. When we do not forget, we're not in danger. In spirit and in truth. When Jesus wanted to go back to Galilee, he had to go through Samaria. And in Sichar, there was a well outside the village. And there he rested, waiting for the disciples to come back with food they wanted to buy in the village. It was high noon. He was there alone. He waited. Now a woman came out of the village at noon, getting water. She had with her a jug. And when she came there, she was surprised that there is a Jew at the well. And she was even more surprised when this Jew asked her, could he give me to drink? And she held around, saying, what? What? You, as a Jew, you ask a Samaritan woman. Why so? Who are you? If you knew who I am, you would have asked me for living water. This is a fountain, living water, not a water of a cistern. Oh, give me such water. That's the best. Go. I want to see your husband. I have no husband. This is correct, what you said. 5 men you have already had, and the 6th is not your man. Oh, I see. You are a prophet. And then they went on in a religious discussion, religious talk. And soon, the Samaritan woman discovered, this is a very, very special person sitting here. This must be the Messiah. And she leaves the jug. The disciples have already come back, wondering why Jesus is talking to a Samaritan woman. And the woman leaves the jug there, runs back into the village, says, come, come, come. People are astonished, what's going on here? Outside there, at Jacob's well, there's a man. Look, if this isn't the Messiah. And they come. They come. And when they get there and talk with Jesus, they say, well, in the beginning we came because of her witness, but now we know it is right. You're the Messiah. The whole village is fond of Jesus because of the testimony of one woman who is despised in this village. Her reputation is not a good one. Of course not. She had already had 5 men and now the 6th, and maybe the next is the 7th. And she takes these men maybe out of marriages. And they listen to her because they see in her face she has experienced something. They see in her face something has changed in her mind. She must have heard some extraordinary things. Otherwise she wouldn't be so fascinated, so excited, shouting, come, come, come. As if enemies would come, so she shouts in such a loud voice. And they follow her and find Jesus. So we always need someone who leads us to Jesus. Maybe you are the one who leads someone to Jesus, if you are fascinated by him. The beauty of holiness. King David had so longed for the tabernacle to be taken to Jerusalem, and now it was there. And then he wrote a psalm of thanksgiving, and Asaph and his brothers, they composed the melody. And we have not the music, but the text in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 7. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk you of all his wondrous works. Do you feel the spirit of David? Glory you in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. What do we hear here? Here is fire. David is on fire. He's full of joy. It must come out of his heart. He calls everybody together. Come, celebrate. The Lord is great. Now his tabernacle. It's in Jerusalem. Oh, he's so happy. So happy. And they sing and shout and play. And the king's joy jumps over to all the people. They see how happy he is. That Israel has such a God. Because for David this means that the most holy, the most important equipment is now here in the capital city. In King David's town, in Jerusalem, city of peace, Jerusalem, Shalom. He goes on singing. He's so full of joy, he can't stop. Verse 23, sing unto the Lord all the earth, so not only the Israelites. Show forth from day to day his salvation. declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. This is the difference. Now, when we think of this song of David, King David, and we compare this song with textbooks our children have in school today, do they hear anything like this? Oh God, how great you are. Or do they learn about evolution, that everything came out of nothing, there is no God, we don't need any God? It's just the opposite. And so it was in the days of Noah, before the flood came. And Jesus said, in the end, it will be as in the days of Noah. Who knows anything about the great God? What do they hear in school about the great stories of God? It's gone. In the Christian nations, no more information about the most important aspects about God. We live in the time as it was before the flood. And then Jesus will come. Idolatry in education. I read in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread, with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. Ha! They have discovered something. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not your disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? Now, this is a strange story, isn't it? We should wash our hands before we eat our bread, shouldn't we? Especially in Corona times, because of this virus. And we should do that without this virus as well. There can be other viruses around. So we should eat not before we have not washed our hands. So everybody knows that. And the Bible is full of hygienic information. They should clean and clean and clean. Now what's going on here? This was not washing hands as we wash hands. It was a ritual, a ceremony. They put a few trickles of water down on this part here, between arm and hand, here. As if a fine lady puts her perfume here, you see? So that you smell in a fine way. This was a ritual. So it was not cleaning the hands. It was a ceremony. As in the Roman Catholic Church, when you enter there, you have a wash basin with water, and there you have to put in your hands and so it's not about cleaning. It's a ritual, a ceremony. But nowadays, because of Corona times, these wash basins are dried out, because there could be infectious disease when everybody puts in his hands there. So this has been stopped nowadays. We have Corona times. So Jesus hasn't told his disciples to do this. And now he's asked, why do you not teach your students, your disciples, what you should teach? And Jesus gives an interesting answer. He cites the prophet Isaiah, where is written the following: "These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me." Who? Now this is a sentence. In vain do they worship me. Why? Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. And then he explains. In Israelitic times, the young generation had to take care of the old people who could not work any longer, so that they have some food. You need money for that. And the temple needs money too, so you have to pay for the temple and you have to pay for your parents. And if you haven't enough money, now the scribe said, give the money which you would give your parents to the temple. And in God's eyes, it is so as if you had given it to your parents. So the temple got his money, and the parents hadn't got it, and they could starve to death. No problem, the temple has got it. So they have won the prize. And Jesus puts his finger in this wound, says, You neglect God's command, and you honor a command of man. Summary. We go back to our painting, our piece of art. Nebuchadnezzar's time, worshipping this idol. And then, if not, you're straight into the oven, burning with fire. And what happened? Jesus came there, protected them. You could not even smell the smoke. So this was strange. And Nebuchadnezzar made a great experience with God. And he was deeply impressed and honored the God who can do such a thing. So he was full in favor of this God who can arrange something like that. Deeply impressed. So what will happen in the last days? This is a parable, a symbol, a typos, antitypos for the last days. In the last days, we will have to decide, worshipping God or not. God commands, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And the papacy demands, keep the Sunday holy. Now what to do then? And when you are not allowed to buy or sell, if you do not keep the Sunday, what then? Then stay to the Sabbath, the word of God says. But what should I eat? You will come into the fire. That's for sure. But in the fire, someone will be with you So be not afraid. They will force you to celebrate Sunday and to work on Sabbath. But God commands, stay to my command. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now it's 1,700 years that the Sunday law had been made. For 1,700 years, the Sunday is celebrated. But the Sabbath is older. When did it start? At creation. You can read it in Genesis 2, verses 1 to 3. The first pair, Adam and Eve, they celebrated Sabbath. From there on, it was celebrated. It's God's days. And Jesus said, when he talked about the future, about the destruction of Jerusalem, 40 years ahead of his time when he was on earth, he said, pray that you have not to flee in winter or on Sabbath. He addressed his followers. Pray that you do not have to flee on the Sabbath day. 40 years ahead of his time, because Jesus never ordered the Sunday to keep it holy. It's the false Sabbath introduced by the devil through the papacy. So in the end time, this will be the question. Either or, Sabbath or Sunday, where will you be found? On God's side or on your enemy's side?